Man, did any of you manage to catch those arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday on the health care bill? An amazing, smart, fact-filled, broad conversation about health care in America that you won't hear in the wretched U.S. political discourse these days. No, no, the word Obamacare was not uttered, I think, even once. I didn't hear anything about socialism. The probing questions from the justices were candid on all sides. They were curious. They were important. In short, I don't know about you, but to me, it felt good to be an American yesterday. Jeff Rosen, didn't you find those arguments yesterday affirming of American democracy, no matter where you come down on health care?
I think you're absolutely right. I love the way you put it. It was America at its best. Your adjectives are correct. Smart, engaged, intelligent. It was really exciting, invigorating, disturbing in some respects, in the sense that at least the first half of the argument seemed extremely tough for the government. But then, of course, the other side was equally probing against the challengers. So it was quite an exhilarating day in the courtroom.
And Jeff Rosen, of course, professor of law at George Washington University, probably gets this feeling a lot since he spends a lot of time over at the Supreme Court. He's been following the arguments on the health care, the Affordable Care Act from Washington, D.C. for us all week long. Jeffrey, let's begin by trying to give a sense of the toughness that you described there. The government really was asked to show, and Donald Verrilli, the U.S. Solicitor General, was forced to really justify why an individual mandate is constitutionally authorized. Here's Justice Kennedy.
I understand that we must presume laws are constitutional. But even so, when you are changing the relation of the individual to the government in this, what we can stipulate is, I think, a unique way, do you not have a heavy burden of justification to show authorization under the Constitution?
Jeffrey Rosen, how did the Solicitor General show that this is constitutionally authorized, the health care bill?
The Solicitor General kept arguing that this bill is authorized by interstate commerce because everyone in their life is going to need health care. The government kept saying because if you don't buy health care now, that's going to increase costs for everyone else. That has huge effects on interstate commerce. But he just kept getting very tough pushback in the first half of the argument from all of the more conservative justices about what's the limiting principle. Could the government force people to buy burial plots, asked Justice Samuel Alito, because everyone's going to die. Chief Justice Roberts asked, could the government force you to buy cell phones because that would improve emergency response in the cases of danger? And Justice Kennedy, who is obviously a crucial vote, kept saying, what couldn't the government do? Can you name one thing that would be beyond this power? And Solicitor General Verrilli really struggled to answer that question.
What do you think of those arguments? Is there a constitutional limit on what the government can force people to do in the interests of, say, national security or domestic tranquility, or in this particular case, to control health care costs?
You know, Justice Breyer actually got impatient with the Solicitor General, and he noted the limiting principle himself. He said the government could not regulate activities that are non-economic and purely local in their nature. He didn't give an example, but he said if something is really local as opposed to a national thing like healthcare and it doesn't have anything to do with the economy, it can't be regulated by interstate commerce. And then Justice Breyer said the truth is that the real limit is political. Congress is not going to regulate something that like broccoli that people don't want to be forced to buy. So those were the limiting principles that basically emerged in the case.
Let's listen to Justice Breyer, because a lot of the discussion, particularly with the Paul Clement, who was arguing for the challengers to the Affordable Health Care Act, a lot of the argument came down to whether the government has the authorization to pull people into commerce, to set up commerce. Listen to Breyer.
The government set up Medicaid. The government set up Medicare. The government set up CHIP. And there are 40 million people who don't have the private insurance. In that world, the government has set up commerce.
What's he saying there, Jeffrey Rosen?
He's responding to the argument of the challengers of Paul Clement that never before the government can't create commerce; it can only regulate commerce. And Breyer saying that this isn't a neutral case where the government is forcing creating commerce for the first time, because it did that when it created an insurance system. And then Breyer gave a whole bunch of other examples where the government created commerce, notably in creating a Bank of the United States during the early 19th century. So he was absolutely rejecting the core of Clement's argument that here what was being regulated was economic inactivity rather than activity.
Although Clement countered with a really powerful argument on the bank question, he said, no, what this is if they created the bank and then forced all Americans to put their money in that bank. I thought Clement was pretty strong yesterday.
Yes, he was incredibly strong, absolutely. And then Justice Kagan kept pounding back at him, because Clement had conceded that the government could could regulate emergency room care, that basically when you go into the emergency room, they could force you to buy insurance. And Kagan countered, this is just a question of timing, because we know everyone's going to get sick at some point, then it's perfectly appropriate to regulate now rather than pay later.
Yeah, Clement conceded that you can force people to buy insurance at the point of sale, which is what that emergency room issue is all about. Justice Sotomayor seemed to me to have a very strong presence yesterday. Give me a sense.
She did. She asked a crucial question. She said to both the challengers, could the states pass a mandate? Are you just saying that it can't be Congress, or could the states not pass a mandate as well? And she was also impatient with the practical claims about the effects on interstate commerce. So she gave the challengers a very tough time.
All right, two things before we go. What's going to be happening today, and what hints do we have already of how this decision might come down, if any?
Today, the very technical question is, if the court strikes down the mandate, what else in the bill does it have to strike down? And the government is saying not too much, and the challengers are saying all of it. And in terms of what's going to happen, predictions are so hazardous in this game. Many people are seizing Justice Anthony Kennedy's question at the end, where he said that his concern in the case was that the government didn't realize that young people who are uninsured actually will affect rates of insurance for everyone else. But Chief Justice Roberts also seemed up for grabs. So thing I'm not going to do after this wonderful week of discussion is try to predict how this case is going to come down.
Kennedy and Roberts, swing votes. Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at George Washington University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.